Thanks for being here. This morning I want to talk to you about welcoming the Word and walking in the Spirit. Welcoming the Word and walking in the Spirit. These two areas, the Word and the Spirit, are perpetually two areas of great warfare even within the body of Christ. There are groups that argue about the place of the Word. You know, some are more literal and conservative. It's me. And some are more lax and liberal when it comes to acknowledging that the Bible is God's Word. A lot of warfare over that. Churches have split. Denominations have split. Various schools, movements have started over the belief concerning the inspiration of Scripture. And then, when you come to the Holy Spirit, that's another area where there's a lot of disagreement, debate, and sometimes warfare. One man was asked, well, what is the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? He said, trouble. And you know what? The book of Acts will support that as well as other evidences, but that's certainly one that happened in the book of Acts. But the Word and the Spirit are so extremely important if we're going to live the life God called us to live. You know, when I was growing up, when we talked about catfishing, we literally meant going down to a creek or a pond and fishing for catfish. But now the term catfishing has a whole different meaning because of social media. Catfishing is when someone steals your identity, claims to be you, uses your image on their profile, steals your name, uses your name. They'll steal your birthday, and at the bottom of all that is they want what you have by pretending to be you. In a lot of ways, people are ripped off right and left, day in and day out by, quote, catfishing. But the devil's a catfisher. He wants to rob you of what the Bible says is yours. And the Bible even says that he will appear to be an angel of light. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He is a destroyer. And we must acknowledge that. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he comes that we might have that life and have it more abundantly. The Bible teaches us these things. But if we're going to live a life that guards against deception, a few Sundays ago I preached an entire message about being deceived. But we have to know what truth is. You have to make a decision what's going to be the standard that governs your life. And it really boils down to two things. The Lord God Almighty, our Creator, who has manifested himself in human flesh as Jesus of Nazareth, are the opinions of men energized by fallen angels. Kind of boils down to that. Jesus, in having a conversation with a woman at a well in John chapter 4, I'm not going to develop the whole context of that. Many of you may be aware of that story. If you're not, this was a woman who had been married multiple times, and she was living with a guy, and yet Jesus, God the Father, led Jesus the Son to encounter her, and she had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. He ministered prophetically through the gifts to her, telling her things about her life that she knew he could not know apart from God. She tried to engage him in religious conversation about the right way to worship, the right place to worship. We're going to step into the story right there, because in John chapter 4, it said Jesus told her, he said, after she said, well, we worship in this mountain, he said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now say spirit and truth. Those two go together, spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, this is a very excluding statement in the sense that if you don't have these two things, you're in trouble, which means you have to exclude a lot of other things that people want to put in there. He is seeking people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is truth. Thy Word is true. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the truth. So, it's so important that we understand that the Word of God is true. It's authored by the Spirit of God, and it reveals to us God Himself. So, we're going to look at some scriptures that use these terms about welcoming the Word and walking in the Spirit, because to me, today's message is really about making sure you're living, when I'm using the term balanced, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just saying all in when it comes to the Word, all in when it comes to the Spirit. I'm not saying you got a little Word and got a little Spirit, okay? I'm saying you're all in the Word and you're all in the Spirit, and that's the kind of balance you need. Be anchored in the Word, led by, and walking in the Spirit. And I would encourage you, and I would ask the Holy Spirit to help us this morning, that any preconceived ideas, notions, traditions of men, or even people that we've learned from, let's just see what God's Word says. Now, I remember in my undergraduate days taking in a secular institution, taking a religion course, and the professor was very, very dogmatic about, you know, you don't have to believe the Bible's the Word of God. You don't have to believe the virgin birth. As a matter of fact, he gave us a lesson one day about, I think it was like 10 intellectual reasons you can deny the virgin birth. Well, you may come up with a list as long as a CVS receipt about why you could deny the virgin birth. Well, let me give you one reason why you shouldn't. Because if Jesus wasn't virgin born, He's the same as the first Adam, a fallen man, and there is no Savior for our sins, and we are still lost and separated from a holy God. You better believe in a virgin birth. I'm going to make three statements this morning, and I want us just to settle some things. If you're unsettled about this, I want to shake the Etch-a-Sketch a bit and get you settled, okay? First thing I want to say is settle in your heart the authority of the Word of God in your life. You need to settle that. I love how the psalmist said it. Thy Word, O Lord, is settled forever in the heavens. Heaven, in heaven, there's no debate about the Word of God. And we need to settle that in our heart if it's not. So very, very important. And look at the scripture here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is kind of a foundational text for this idea of welcoming the Word. It says, Paul says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not, notice this, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Who does it work in? Those who believe. And I love that word, effectively work. It's one Greek word. It's the word we get energeo from. And it's in what's called the middle voice. Why is that important? Because Paul is saying the Word will energize you. And by using the middle voice, he's saying the Word, you're being acted upon by a force outside yourself. Someone else is acting upon you. You see, the truth is the Spirit of God energizes you through the Word of God and transforms you into a child of God in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So Paul is commending these Thessalonian believers, he says, first of all, he said, you received the word you heard. Now, across this room this morning, each of you will have to decide if you're going to receive the word that you're hearing. Particularly when I'm reading the Scripture, because that's the word. And as you've heard me say this numerous times, and I repeat it probably until I go to be with Jesus or He comes and gets us all. It's important then, when it comes to Bible preaching and teaching, that what you're being taught finds its resting place in the Word of God. It needs to be resting on the truth of God's Word. I like for you to see that. I like for you to see where we're getting this. It's like welcoming the Word. He says, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. He commends them. You received it. Not only did you receive it, but you welcomed it. You may have sometimes when somebody knocks on your door, you let them in the house, but you're not very welcoming. I remember one time years ago, Nikki and I, we first started in ministry. We were in Birmingham visiting one weekend, and we visited this big church. We were going, we were learning, eager to see how different people did different things. And we went to this service, and there was hundreds of people in a room, and we left, and no one ever spoke to us. And I'd have to say, we didn't feel very welcomed. But turn to someone and say, hi, glad you're here. Okay, I don't want anybody to leave and say, well, nobody spoke to me. So they welcomed the Word. And they knew it was God's Word, not the opinion of men, but God's Word. It's just like in Matthew 16, 17, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Remember, Peter got it right. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But my Father who is in heaven. When you're reading the Scripture, like this, what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, that came from God. When he preached the gospel, when you share the gospel, when you preach the gospel, how Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and on the third day God raised from the dead, that's not an opinion of man. That's the Word of God. It may come across your lips, but it's the Word of God. It's the truth. And there's power in it that energizes and moves upon people. And people become convicted. And when they open their heart to receive, they become converted. You may be here this morning and you've been convicted, but maybe you've never welcomed the Word, the truth about who Jesus is into your life. That's when you become born again. I encourage you to receive and welcome the message of the gospel this morning. And I encourage you to receive and welcome the teaching of Scripture in your life this morning. Settle it in your heart that the Word of God, it has the authority of God on it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, Peter says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke. Who was speaking? Holy men of God. How did they do that? As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a record of how God spoke through men to men. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is theopneustos in the Greek. It simply means God, theos, pneustos, spirit or breath. It means God breathed on the Scripture. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, that is what you should believe, for reproof, that's where, when you get reproved for being in error, for correction, straightening you out, for instruction in righteousness, telling you how to live. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's the Word that brings wholeness and completion in our life and equips us to live the life God has called us to live. The Scripture is the inspired Word of God. The Spirit and the Word, they work together. See, we're told here in this passage that God's Spirit was moving on men as they recorded or as they prophesied the Word of God. Let's be a church that always welcomes the Word of God. Many of our small groups, 33, that's awesome. But many of those groups, they will meet and study the Bible. That's important. You learn a lot in small groups. You get an opportunity to ask questions and make comments. And you can, you know, share the Word back and forth. A lot happens. My wife's going to be, you should hear her message from Wednesday night, by the way. She knocked it out of the park a couple of more times, and I'm probably out of here, and she's up here, if you know what I mean. But it was a great job, sweetheart. But she is going to be, her group is going to be doing a Lord, I Want to Be Whole. It's a Bible study about being whole. It's just for women. And there are other groups, and I encourage you to look through there, and there may be something that says, you know what, that's something I've been wondering about, I'm needing. And mutual encouragement around the Word. And we have some groups for fellowship, too. And so we just thank God for that. We want to be a church that's anchored to the Word. When the Lord called me into the ministry, and then a few years after that, God began dealing with us about attending seminary, I looked at all the different seminaries that we might go to. I had to finish my undergraduate work and get my four-year degree out of the way. And then at that time, we thought we were going to be on the mission field. So in order to qualify for the mission field, we had to have our undergraduate degrees and then a three-year Master of Divinity degree at an accredited seminary. So I was looking across the country. But I wanted to find a seminary that believed the Bible, not only that the Bible contained the Word of God, but that the Bible was the Word of God. Big difference there. And so I ended up choosing to go to Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Memphis, Tennessee. At that time, I was pastoring in Southern Baptist churches. Very conservative when it comes to Scripture. As a matter of fact, every year at the beginning of the year, they would have a week-long series of meetings called Founders Days. And during one of those days, they would bring a document up onto the platform that specified, we believe in the inerrant, plenary, verbal inspiration of Scripture. And every professor that would teach a class had to come up onto the platform, take a pen in hand, and in front of God and all the witnesses there, all the students and faculty, and sign that. That was their belief, that they believed that about the Word of God. That was important to me. They believed the inerrant, that is, it's without error. That verbal, even the words that were chosen to be recorded were watched over by God. Plenary, which means full or the totality. All the words in Scripture are without error, breathed on by God's Spirit, inspired. All of that. And that's what I believe. And, you know, and that's important. We need to settle that in our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we are told that the Word of God is alive. Say it's alive. And powerful. Sharp as the two-edged sword. Piercing to the dividing soul of soul and spirit. And helping you know your motives. In other words, it is alive. It is powerful. It is sharp. It is piercing. And it is discerning. God's Word has life on it and life in it. And when God's Word makes its way into your heart receives that life, receives that power, and it will do its work. Like, no, that's not God. Over here, this is God. The Word of God helps you make those decisions. Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to Thy Word. Jesus says, the wise man whose house stood when the storms came built his house on the rock. And Jesus said, that man is the man who hears my word and does them. You see, the word enables you to make it. You are not promised in the Word that there will never be storms in your life, but you are promised in the Word that when the storms come, you'll survive them. If you build on what Jesus said and you do it, settle in your heart the authority of the Word of God in your life. Now, I'm hitting the same nail over and over purposely right now. And I'm going to keep swinging a few more minutes on this one. Genesis 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, and in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then verse 3, let there be light. God brought into existence all that we see out there by His Word. His Word is powerful. His Word is creative. Listen to Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, before I finish the rest of that, listen to what that's already said. For you to understand the worlds were framed, all the planets, the universes, etc., etc., on and on and on, God did that by speaking it. And the Bible says the way you'll know that is by faith. You cannot intellectually reach a point where you understand that enough. You have to, by faith, know it. It's amazing how much faith somebody can have in Darwinian evolution to believe it just happened. That takes a lot more faith because everything screams. There's creative design. You don't take a stick of TNT down to the garbage dump, toss it in there, and have an explosion and see a new Rolls Royce created. It doesn't happen that way. There has to be a creative, intelligent design. By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We read earlier in John chapter 4, God is Spirit. God who is Spirit, by speaking, brought into the material world that which can be seen. But the things which are seen were not made by things that are visible. They came forth out of the realm of the Spirit. You are a spirit being. You have a soul that's encased and lives in a body, but you are a spirit being. You are made in the image of God who is Spirit. And you and I are to live our life by faith. Things that did not exist came into existence because God, through His Word, spoke them into being. And we believe the Bible teaches us, being made in the image of God, that we have God's Word that tells us God's will, that is what God wants to do. And when that's not being done, we believe we can take God's Word, which is God's will, which is alive, which has energy and power in it, and we can read it and study it and fill up on it, get it in our heart, and then speak it out our mouth and see the things that are not visible come into being because we have got in partnership with God who is Spirit and spoken it forth and see it manifest. That's Bible. And I'm not saying that can be used randomly. That you can just decide that you're going to do something. No, there has to be that same creative design behind what you're speaking that was behind the creation of the world. But when all that lines up, kaboomba, power. Let me give a shout out to Jesus as the living Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. The only conclusion you can draw is whatever was made by Jesus. The eternal Logos. God spoke. This verse has got some heat on it. Colossians 1:16. Speaking of Jesus, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He's the glue that holds the galaxy together. Hebrews 1:3, who, Jesus, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, similar to Colossians 2:9 we read, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When you go out tonight and you look up in the heavens and you see those stars, you know why they're still right there where they are? Because of the word of His power. When you walk out in the morning and you see that sun peeping over the horizon and coming up in the sky, that sun is bearing witness that it is still obeying the word it was given when it was created, and it always will. The sun, the moon, the stars will obey that word that was spoken. The birds, the fish, and so forth, they obey that word that was put in place. Where everything reproduces after its own kind. It's only human beings and fallen angels, demons. It's only human beings and demons that will snub their nose at God and say, I want to live independently from You and the word You've spoken. The Son convicts us of that. Having the Word in your life and standing on its authority may very well save your life. And it definitely will determine your eternity. Let's move on to the second one. A little faster on the second one. I want to challenge you this morning, settle in your heart the present ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit did not simply kickstart the church, give us a smile and a wave and say, now go for it. Jesus clearly taught. He said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. In Mark chapter 16, it says, and the Lord was with them, confirming the Word. I said the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the presence of the Lord now through His Holy Spirit, He confirms the Word with signs following. And if you put that with what Matthew said, and He'll do it until He returns, until the end of the age. The Holy Spirit is presently active. Just like He was on the day of Pentecost. He's not taking a vacation. He's certainly not saying amen to cessation, which is the teaching that the miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit were for first century believers, and then with the death of the last of the 12 apostles, that all those ceased. The first problem I have with that, it is nowhere in the Word of God. It's an add-on. And if it's an add-on, you have to determine, did God add it on? Did God change His mind? The Holy Spirit's activity has not ceased. Now, neither am I saying that everything that people claim is the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, do not try to, though it would be fruitless to try, don't try to handcuff the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to settle in your heart. He is alive and well, and He's moving in the body of Christ today. And He's doing everything we read about Him doing in the New Testament. Someone aptly said, you know, if you're a word-only person, you'll dry up. You see, you may, your theology may be gun barrel straight, but just as empty. If you're word only, you'll dry up. If you're spirit only, you'll blow up. Tossed to and fro by every wind, which is every wind is another Greek word that can be interpreted breath. It can be interpreted spirit. There's all type of winds, breaths, spirits that can move people to and fro. But the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. So that's the reason we need the Word, and that's the reason we need the Spirit. We're without leadership if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. So our leadership for Christian living has to be in following, being led by the Holy Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, as we shall see here in just a moment. So, settle in your heart the present ministry of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I want to read this, and I'm going to read some other verses that follow, so just keep your eye on the screen here. For I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you have trouble with lust, or if you have trouble with your fleshly nature, maybe some habit, hurt, hang up, compulsion, some addiction, if that's coming because of your flesh's strength in your life. He says, walking in the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doesn't say you might not be tempted to lust, but you won't fulfill that lust. It is not a sin to be tempted. If it is, Jesus sinned, right? He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, it is not a sin to be tempted. That's another trick of the devil. There must be something terribly wrong with me. I was tempted to, you know, look, or I was tempted to do this. I know it's wrong. I didn't do it, but there must be something wrong with me. No, you're a human being. Adam and Eve were absolutely perfect, and they were tempted, and they failed. Why? Because they didn't continue to walk in the Spirit. God is Spirit. Unhindered fellowship with God. That was broken when they started dialoguing with the devil. So walk in the Spirit. I got to speed this up. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's a warfare between flesh and Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. You sense that too at times? I want to. No, I can't. I don't want to, but no, I should. That contrary thing going on. It says they're contrary to one another. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The Old Testament law really spells out what you're not supposed to do. But the law of life in Christ Jesus that we know shows us what we're freed up to do for God. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh, okay, here come the bad boys. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, by the way, as I read these, this is saying God's not for any of this. This is saying this is all coloring outside the lines. This is saying this violates God's boundaries, violates God's design, violates God's desires, violates God's will. It's sin. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I wonder if I just did a series on this and just took one of these, take this list and just do a sermon each week on one of those. I wonder how much we could dwindle this crowd down. I mean, this, you know what I'm saying? No, this is not what God wants for us. But it would do well in the culture in which we're living for us to drop by and read that list occasionally. Right? Because we're living in that time when people are calling evil good and good evil. It was prophesied, and it is here. In contrast, though, look at the next. Now we're talking about walking in the Spirit. How do I know? Well, let's read it. But the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast to these works of flesh, this is what you look like, living in a fleshly life. This is what you look like, walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You're not forbidden to do any of those things. God smiles on it. Matter of fact, it's the Holy Spirit that produces that in our life. Now notice what he says. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, if you've been made alive through conversion, you've been born again by the Spirit, live that out. Walk it out in your everyday life. Our daily life ought to exhibit the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Because when we're led by Him and He's producing His fruit, this is the list we go by, the fruit of the Spirit. Some people think that being a Christian means Jesus just walks around with you and helps you do whatever you want to do. You know, really good pal just to have, help you out from time to time. But that's not the Christianity the Bible teaches. The Christianity the Bible teaches is you die to flesh, you die to yourself, and you are governed, led by, and guided by the Holy Spirit doing what God wants you to do. Not just Jesus is a cool and Jesus is all right with anything that I do. No, if I really want to be cool, I'm submitted and surrender and doing what Jesus wants me to do. So, walking in the Spirit. So, we want to settle the authority of the Word, and we want to settle the present ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. So, then we can be led by the Spirit, and then He will use the Word for us to effect change within, but also around us. Let me give you an example of this. This past Tuesday, I was at church ministering to someone on Tuesday evening, and then when I got home there, it was a group of ladies that had dropped by our house. Mickey updated me on this when I got home, but they just came to pray, and so they prayed around our house, and that's all cool. It's good. Appreciate that very much. Well, I'm out the next morning. I get up early and I'm out walking. And I'll walk. Sometimes I'll pray. Sometimes I'm working on a message in my head. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. But I was just out walking. And I had only made, and I only walk in my driveway. I don't like to get out on the road. It's just crazy out there. So I'm just looping in our driveway. I have a pretty long driveway. And I'm walking around and I'm praying. And all of a sudden, it was just like the Spirit of God came upon me. Just like, whoosh. And I started declaring scriptures. I mean, they were coming like a machine gun. You know when I say the Spirit of God came upon me, it's like you can tell when the Spirit's manifesting at times. Now, He's there whether He's manifesting in that way or not. That's a settled fact. He will never leave you. He will not forsake you. But I love it when He manifests in that way. Like the Holy Spirit came upon me, and the first thing I started, I just started getting these scriptures. I was praying over all of our property and praying over our house, praying over our family, praying over all of you. I mean, it was just coming. And I switched to something else. And the next thing I knew, a half hour had passed, and I'm just like, you know, praying in the Spirit, and the scriptures were just coming. And it was just really cool, a refreshing thing. It's just easy. It's like I got in the jet stream. And I love it when that happens. It was later that day. A little slow here, sorry. But it was later that day that it occurred to me. Oh, those ladies had been over here and left let that Holy Ghost fire out praying through them. I'm out there walking, and it affected. I know that. I mean, as soon as that came, it's like, Holy Spirit, yep, this is how it works. We are stronger together. And we have to learn to walk in the Spirit, and He will do things like that for us. The words you need, He will bring it to your remembrance. That's the reason you need to hide it in your heart, so He can bring it to your remembrance, right? You need to be in the Word, but you also need to be led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. It's amazing how that works. So learn to speak the Word of God. Now, let's finish up. The last thing. Settle in your heart that you will welcome the Word and walk in the Spirit in your life. Now, I've talked to you about settling the authority of the Word. I've talked to you about settling the present ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now it's decision time. Settle in your heart. You're going to start living this. So I'm going to, if you're not already, and if you are already, let's take another step deeper, right? Welcoming the Word, walking in the Spirit. This is how we're called to live our lives. Revelation 3:19. I thought this was a beautiful passage to do this. As many as I love, this is Jesus, and He's talking to a very backslidden group of people in Laodicea. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. When you're being corrected by the Word, are convicted by the Spirit, that's just God loving on you. That's Jesus loving you. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That's you saying, okay, Lord, I welcome what You're saying. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This was written to believers. That's a good passage to use in other ways. But He's talking to His sons and daughters here at Laodicea. Hey, I want to sit down with you. There's some things we need to talk about. Open the door. Welcome me in. You see, that's the moment that things can change. When you welcome the Word and receive whatever it's requiring of you to straighten up, turn around, and get right with God. And then you can walk in the Spirit and see God's stuff happen. See your prayers answered. Again, doesn't mean you won't have storms. Doesn't mean you won't have trials and difficulties and troubles. Reference Mickey's message Wednesday night. But it does mean you'll be energized with the life and power of God's Word. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will be living in you and moving in you and leading you. He's there. It's so important for us to understand. This message was given me in the early hours on Saturday mornings. Matter of fact, I woke up at 1:30, and at 4:30, I had this message. I never got out of bed. But the meat of it, I was finished before then. I tinkered with it after that. But the Lord was just downloading, and I got my phone. I was looking up scriptures and studying. And then when I was like, okay, thank You, Lord, I put my phone down and I looked, and it was 3:33. I know we can make anything prophetic, but sometimes it really is. So I looked up, and immediately for me, when I see that, it's Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto Me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, You gave me this message about welcoming the Word and walking in the Spirit. And now You're saying, and this is the reason I laid there until 4:30 before I got up, and just contemplating all this 3:33. So here's what I decided. You know, because when it's like the Lord lets you know, okay, ask Me. I thought, well, Lord, I want to live out this revelation in a deeper way than I ever have before. So this is what the prayer I came up with. I don't have it on the screen, but I decided, when I thought, I meditated, and I said, okay, Lord, here's what I'm going to call on you for. Lord, help me to welcome the Word and walk in the Spirit more than ever before. Simply that. Help me to welcome the Word and walk in the Spirit more than ever before. Now, as you stand, as our worship team's here and our prayer team members come back up here, I know many of you have already received prayer. I want to ask you, would you join me in this prayer? Would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, help me to welcome the Word and walk in the Spirit more than ever before. You see, no matter where you are this morning, more. One more time. Lord, help me to welcome the Word and walk in the Spirit more than ever before. Now let's close our eyes and bow our heads and get all distracting thoughts out of the way. And one final time, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would help us now, that this would be a moment of commitment in this house. This could mean different changes for different people. For some, it means begin reading your Bible again. For some others, it may mean, you know, a minute or two's not enough now. You need to do more than that. For others, it may mean you've stopped just pausing and listening and asking me, what should I do? Pray this with me. Lord, help me to welcome the Word and walk in the Spirit more than ever before. Now you ask Him. This is between you and God. You ask Him, Lord, what's my next step? What needs to change in my life? What do I need to do more of? Or what do I need to do less of? And whatever He's saying to you, do that. Just do it. Walk that out. And witness what happens. Might save your life, save your family, save your health, save your job, save your child, save your marriage. We need the life and power of the Word of God moving and flowing in our life. And we need the power and presence of the Holy Spirit manifesting in our daily lives. We live that way. We'll see God move. Brother James, do you have something on your heart? Before we dismiss, I know, number one, you must be physically worn out. This has been a marathon worshiper since Tuesday. And we'll be gathering here this Friday night. And we're all in Alabama. And we encourage you all to come. It's going to be a good time, a one night here, Friday night. But what's on your heart? I saw you step out there to the edge, and I just feel like there's something on your heart.
Well, I stepped out because of something with physically with me. I'm going to go to Mark and prayer for a minute here. But earlier, when you called people up, I kept saying loudly that there are people that relationships have been broken, and it seems like you don't know how to even fix it. Matter of fact, you can't fix it, but He can. And so I felt if He was moving so heavily on that this morning, let's just those relationships you might bring up in your heart right now. One more time, let's lift them back up to Him. And thank Him for, it might be with a neighbor, might be with somebody on your job, it might be a relative or a friendship that it's just the enemy has come in to break something that's always supposed to be. That's what he tries hardest to do, is break those relationships that are supposed to be strong and beautiful together. And so, Lord, I thank you for the anointing that's been here all day, and that you heal things in our physical bodies and things like Pastor Eddie talked about, discouragements and earlier things. But I just felt there's a real grace on here today for even this week, for us to see miracles in turning things around that the enemy came in with, and that we can't see any way how to repair it, and even you've tried to repair it, but it just, and now you're out of options. But there's always His option, and there's always His love. So, Father, we thank you for hearts of love being lifted up once again today, and people that you think about that are, God, could it ever be again? You said love never fails. And so we just thank you for so much love being here today, that your unfailing love is moving in all bright relationships and family trees and all those kinds of things. That's what I see, Pastor Rudy.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother.
This altar is going to be open. We're about to dismiss right now, but those of you who may need ministry, feel free to come on up. Also, I do need to share with our church family that our dear brother, Greg Richardson, went home to be with Jesus this past Thursday. His funeral will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at Morrison's in Tuscumbia. I think the visitation's from 12 to 2. Please be praying for the family. Amen. Thanks for being here. May God's grace abound in your life. And may you this week welcome the Word and walk in His Spirit. May Jesus shine big in each of you. Blessings to you. Thanks for being here. The altar is open for ministry. If you need prayer, come on up.